Today's Amud is Beitza Lamed Vav Amabez. We're holding on Lamed Vav Amabez, seven lines from the top, by the two dots, by the words V'nais Ninkli. So says the Gemara, we mentioned in the Mishnah, that V'nais Ninkli Tachas Adalef B'Shabbos, that a person's allowed to put a kli if he has a leak in his house, so he could put a kli by the leak, so that the water should fall into the kli and not get all over his house. So Tana, we learned in the Braisa that im nismale hakli, if the kli that he puts by the leak, if it gets filled up with the water, so shayfech v'shayne ve'inay nimna. So he's allowed to pour out the water from the kli and then put the kli again back by the leak, and he doesn't have to refrain from doing this. The chiddush is that you might think that that's already too much tircha. Maybe there was only a one-time heter to put the kli by the leak, and then that's it. No, says the Braisa, you could even do it multiple times. It's not just the one time heter, it's not a problem of the extra tircha is not problematic. Now says the Gemara, a very fascinating story, that Beirei Chayida Abaye Dolof. The mill room, the mill of Abaye, so there was a leak in the room, and the water was leaking onto Abaye's mill. Now, mills are very expensive, and if water, anyone knows a thing or two about mills, so everyone knows that if water goes on the mill, so then the mill's eventually gonna break. So now Abaye wasn't sure what to do. So also the Kami the Rabba. So what does he do? He's not sure. You go to the Rabba. So Abaye goes to his Rebbe. He went to Rabba and he told him about the situation. Rabba was Abaye's Rebbe. He was also Abaye. He was the one who raised Abaye. The Gaon says in Hilchos Mamrim that really Abaye's name was Nachmeni. Abaye never really met his parents. Abaye's father died when his mother was expecting, and his mother died during childbirth. So his uncle, who was Rabba raised Abaye. Abaye's name was Nachmeni, which was also Rabba's father's name. So Rabba felt uncomfortable calling Abaye by the name Nachmeni, being that it was his father's name. So he gave him the nickname, he gave him the name Abaye, which means like my father, because he had the same name as Rabba's father, he had the name Nachmeni. But Rabba really raised Abaye, and he was also his Rebbe, he was Rabba's Rebbe as well, we have the story in Mesachas Brachos. Anyways, so Abaye wasn't sure what to do, he had this leak by his mill, and so he went to Rabba. He went to Rabba to ask him what to do. I guess the leak was going right over the mill. He couldn't just put a kli there. So he went to Rabba to ask him what to do. And Amar Lei, so Rabba said to Abaye, he said, Zil Aile Lipuryach, go bring your bed. Go bring your bed, Lahasam, into the mill room. And then now your mill room will become your bedroom. Now, if your mill room is your bedroom, the Lahavi Graf Shel Re'eh Va'apke. So now the fact that you have a rained on millstone, which I guess gets smelly and ichy, so now that's going to be something which disturbs you. Something which disturbs you is always likened to a Graf Shel Re'eh, which literally is a bucket, a basket that was used for a person to go to the bathroom in, G'daylim. So this Graf Shel Re'eh is something which is disgusting. In Halacha, the significance of it is that on Shabbos, you're allowed to move a Graf Shel Re'eh, even though technically it should be very muksa. It's something which obviously has no use on Shabbos, so it should be muksa, something which is disgusting, so Chazal gave a heter to move it. So said Rabbi, I have a good etza. Your mill room right now, you can't move your mill, because your mill is muksa, it's used to crush wheat, so that's something which is muksa. But what you could do is you can make your mill room into your bedroom. Bring your bed into the mill room, now your mill room becomes your bedroom. Now in your bedroom, you don't want to have a mill that's wet. So now the mill will be like a Graf Shel Re'eh. It will be something that's disgusting that's inside of your bedroom. Va'apke. And then you could go ahead and you could move the mill. Typically, the mill would be considered muksa. But if it's in your bedroom, so then it's disgusting, then it's bothering you, so now you could go ahead, and now you could have a heter to move the mill. So that's the etzam that Rabbi gave to Abaye. Lamaisa Yosef Abaye v'kakashale. Abaye wasn't so confident in this etzah. So he sat down and he started contemplating, is this etzah really so pashut? V'chi oisin graf shel re'eh l'chadchila. We know the rule that you're not allowed to make a graf shel re'eh l'chadchila. If a person has a graf shel re'eh, a classic modern day example is a dirty diaper. So if a baby, if a child goes to the bathroom, he has a dirty diaper, even though it fits muksa, you're allowed to move it because it's a graf shel re'eh. Now you can't make a graf shel re'eh l'chadchila, but once you have a graf shel re'eh, you're allowed to move it. So Abaye started thinking, this etzah, is it really that pashut that I can move my bed into the mill room and then make the mill into a graf shel re'eh? We know the rule is you're not allowed to make a graf shel re'eh l'chadchila. So Tosfos brings that Rabbah, of course, agrees to this rule that you don't make a graf sharei lechatchila, but he held that b'makom hefsid, like in this case, so there was a heter. Abaye apparently didn't know about this heter, and therefore he sat and he started thinking about it. Like, is it so poshut that I actually have a heter in this case? Well, Lamaisa says the Gemara that Adahachi, while Abaye was contemplating, while he was thinking about this psak of Rabbah, it was too late. Nafal be'rechaya, Lamaisa, the mill completely collapsed, it broke. Nafal be'rechaya de Abaye, the mill of Abaye fell and it broke, and then that was it. There was nothing more to move. It was broken. So Ammar, so when Abaye saw that this is what happened, so he commented and he said that tasili, that I deserve what happened, the avri ademar, because I was over, I transgressed that which my Rebbe said. Meaning, even though he didn't go mamish bepoil against his Rebbe, but the fact that he was doubting his Rebbe, he felt that that was a pegam that he showed in the kvod of his Rebbe, and he said that therefore I deserve what happened, I deserve it, that my mill broke, because I didn't just right away go ahead and listen to my Rebbe. It's a chiddush, even though you would think here he's thinking that maybe his Rebbe was too makel. You know, it's one thing if you want to be more makel than your Rebbe. Of course, that's wrong. Here, Abaye was coming to be more machmer than his Rebbe. You see, it's not so pasha always to take on a chumrah. If the Rebbe didn't have that chumrah, so it's not so pasha to take on the chumrah. Abaye said, I deserve what happened, that my mill broke, because I wasn't listening to my Rebbe to be makel. I should have just listened to him, moved my bed into the mill room, and then moved the mill. Reminds me of a story they bring in the Sefer Shifchei Ha'ari that was put out by Machon Avat Shalom. It's printed on page Tzadi Beis, where it's a relatively famous story that Rizal, he went out with his Talmidim, or in the story it calls them his Chaveirim. That Rizal called his Talmidim Chaveirim. Stam, it's a limud in and of itself that he called his Talmidim his friends. But anyway, so that Rizal went out one Erev Shabbos, and he went out with his Talmidim on Erev Shabbos to be Mekabel Shabbos the way they always used to do it, the way they used to go to the fields, and they would be Mekabel Shabbos. And on their way to the fields, so the Arizal said to his Talmidim, he said, we should all go right now on Erev Shabbos, it's a few moments till Shkia. He said to his Talmidim, let's all go right now, let's quickly go to Yerushalayim. I know exactly where they have the afer of the Paraduma, the ashes of the Paraduma. I know where they're hidden. We'll sprinkle it on ourselves, we'll become Tarf and Tumas Meis, and we're going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and we're going to be able to bring the Karban Tamid of Shabbos and the Karban Musaf of Shabbos. Let's go quickly right now to Yerushalayim. So the Talmidim were all looking at each other. Some of them were thinking like, hey, how are we going to get to Yerushalayim? It's already almost Shabbos. Yerushalayim is very far. Even nowadays it takes, I don't know, it's about maybe a 3-hour drive nowadays. Then you to walk, or I don't know, whatever mode of transportation they had. So it was very difficult to make it all the way to Yerushalayim. It's going to be Shabbos soon. So some of the Talmidim were not sure, how are we going to get to Yerushalayim so quickly? And other Talmidim, they had maybe a little bit more Emunas Chachamim, and they said, okay, I don't know, that Rizal has his ways, maybe he'll use some sort of shame, do Kvitzas HaDerech, I don't know, but let's go tell our wives so that they shouldn't be waiting for us. Lamaisa Adahachi, while they were having this discussion, so the Arizal screamed out. And it says that the Arizal screamed out and he started crying. And he said, Meyed ani alai Shemayim Va'aretz. He said, the Shemayim Va'aretz are witnesses to me. Shemizman HaRashbi Adayoyim, from the times of Rashbi, from the times of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai until today, Lehaisa Shah Haguna Leguula Kishah HaZais. There was no time that was more fitting for the Geula than this time right now. And said the Arizal to his Talmidim, V'ilu ha'isa ma'idim b'davar zeh, if you would have just right away listened to me, haya beis hamikdash nivne. Right now, the beis hamikdash would have been rebuilt. V'achshav avra isa shah, but now the moment has been lost. V'nichnusu Yisrael b'galus mechadash. And it says, if Klal Yisrael has just went into galus again, anew, for another time. And the Talmidim, the Sefer says that they were very sad, they had tremendous charata, but said there was nothing that was going to help and change the situation. That was the situation. Again, another Adahachi. They should have just listened to the Rebbe, and because they waited, Adahachi, they were thinking, they were being more machmer, you know, Tchum Shabbos, how are we going to get there? We should tell our wives. Adahachi, they missed out on the opportunity. That's what this story in the Gemara reminded me of. But anyway, says the Gemara Vayter now, more on this topic of a graf shel re'i. So says the Gemara, Amar Shmuel. Shmuel said that graf shel re'i, here now we're talking in the literal sense, that a bucket that's used for a person to go to the bathroom for gedolim, v'avit shel me'me raglayim, and the same idea, but this is for ketanim, for me'me raglayim. So these containers that are used for re'i and for me'me raglayim, so it's mutter lohitzion la'ashbo. The halacha is that on Shabbos, you're allowed to take it out to the garbage. You're allowed to bring it out to the garbage. It's not a problem of muksa, being that this graf shel re'i and the avit shel me'me raglayim, being that it's disgusting, so you're allowed to bring it out to the garbage. However, said Shmuel, ukeshuhu machziroi, but when you're bringing it back from the garbage, so now, it's not, there's no heter, what's the heter to continue carrying it? So if it's still in your hand, we know there's a heter that some, once muksa is in your hand, so you're allowed to, once it got to your hand, the heter, so now you're allowed to continue carrying it. But apparently Shmuel now is talking about a case where, let's say you let go of it, so now you want to bring it back into your house. You need it back in your house, so, but now what's your heter to pick it up? The bowl itself is muksa. So says Shmuel that if you want to bring it back into your house and you put it down, so keshehu machziroi naisein by mayim umachziroi. So you have to put some water into the kli, and then you could bring it back into your house now that it has this water inside of it. So now you could bring it back into your house. It's a chiddush. You would think maybe the water becomes disgusting. So now the water itself is muksa. What is it going to help you? That's what Shmuel said. That's the heter. You put some water into the kli, and now you could bring it back into your house. So now that's the heter of graf shel re'i and avit shel me'me raglayim. So now says the Gemara that savar mina, those that heard this shir from Shmuel, they assumed that graf shel re'i agav mana in bifnei atzmai loy, that the heter to move something that's disgusting, which is muksa on Shabbos, is only if you move it with the bowl. It's only if you move it in a kli. But if a person wanted to move the thing that's inside of the toilet, he wanted to move the thing that's inside of the kli by itself directly, that is no heter to touch it. You have to dafka pick up the bowl, because that was the heter. The Shmuel spoke about picking up the bowl, moving the bowl to the garbage. So they understood that the heter is dafka to move the bowl. But you're not allowed to take what's inside the bowl, if for whatever reason you would want to do such a thing, but you wouldn't be allowed to, that would be a problem of muksa, that is no heter. That's what the people listening to the shir, that's what they assumed. However, says the Gemara, it's not true. Tashema, we have a raya from a braisa. The braisa says, Dahu achbarta dishtakach bay isparmake duravashi. There was a mouse that was once found in the sparmake duravashi, in the spice room of Ravashi. So this mouse is like a graf shel re'i. It's disgusting to have it in a spice room. And Amar Luhu Ravashi, so Ravashi said to his attendants, he said to them, Nakta bututise vapkua, that you should grab it by its tail, grab the mouse by its tail, and get it out of the spice room. So you see that Rav Ashi said that there was a heter even to touch the graf shel re'i itself directly, to touch the mouse itself. You don't have to dafka hold it in a bowl. That happened to have been Shmuel's case. He was talking about moving the bowl, moving the graf shel re'i and the avit shel me'me raglayim, but it's not that it has to be like that. Technically, if you have something which is disgusting, the thing itself, you're allowed to move that directly as well. It doesn't have to be that it's inside of another kli. Says the Mishnah now, Kol shechayavin olav misham shvus, misham rishus, misham mitzvah b'shabbos. Anything that on Shabbos it's aser, whether it's aser, so these are three categories of derabanans. One category of derabanans is shvus, a second category is rishus, and the third category is mitzvah. These are three categories of isurei derabanan. Any of these categories that are asr on Shabbos, so chayavin alav b'yamtif, they're also asr on yamtif. Meaning, just like malacha that's asr on Shabbos is asr on yamtif, unless you have a special heter of eichel nefesh, but otherwise, malacha that's asr on Shabbos is asr on yamtif, so too, derabanans. Derabanans that are asr on Shabbos are also asr on yamtif. So what are these three categories of derabanans? Really, the Gemara is going to focus on exactly what the difference between these three categories are, but the three categories are shvus, rishus, and mitzvah. Shvus being something that's completely not mitzvah related, rishus being something which is mitzvah related, and misham mitzvah being something that's a complete mitzvah. But all these are three different types of things that are asa midrabanan. So you have certain things that are asa midrabanan, even though it's a mitzvah. Certain things that are asa midrabanan, even though it's rishus, it's mitzvah related. And certain things that are asa midrabanan, they're mishum shvus, nothing to do with mitzvahs, they're stam asa midrabanan. All three categories, anytime something is asa midrabanan on Shabbos, it's also asa on Yom Tov. The elu hein mishum shvus. Now says the Mishnah some examples of all three categories. So first, these are some examples of things that are aser on Shabbos mishum shvus, and they're also going to be aser on Yom Tov. They're aser mishum shvus means again that they're not mitzvah related at all. What are these things? First of all, eilon bi'ilon on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to go up on a tree. You're not allowed to climb up a tree. V'loy reich vin agabe behema. Now each thing the Gemara is going to explain the reason. You're not allowed to though. V'loy reich vin agabe behema. You're not allowed to ride on top of an animal. V'loy shatin al pnei amayim. You're not allowed to swim. V'loy metapchen, you're not allowed to clap. We've had this before. V'loy mesapkin, you also can't clap on your legs. V'loy merakten, you're not allowed to dance. Ve'elu hein mishum rishus. Now the following are examples of things that are aser on Yom Tov, even though they're mitzvah related, they're mishum rishus, but they're still aser midrabanan for various reasons. Number one is loy danin, you're not allowed to dan a din tayra. V'loy mekachin, you're not allowed to marry someone, you're not allowed to get married on Yom Tov. V'loy chaltzen, you're not allowed to perform chalitza. V'loy miyavmin, you're not allowed to perform yibum on Yom Tov. And that those are the examples of rishus. Ve'elu hein misham mitzvah, and the following are examples of things that are actual mitzvahs, but they're still aser midrabanan to perform them on Yom Tov. Number one is loy makdishin, you're not allowed to make something hektish. Veloy ma'arichin, you're not allowed to pledge. Erichin is the Torah's set value for a person depending on his gender and his age. Different set values for a person who's a zachor or a nekeva depending on their ages. And so a person's not allowed to pledge his erich to hektish on Yom Tov, even though it's a mitzvah. Still, it's also midrabanan to make such a pledge. Veloy macharimin is also another type of hektish. You're not allowed to make something cherim on Yom Tov. V'loy magbihin truma u'maiser, which is also a mitzvah, but still it's also midrabanan to separate truma and maiser on Yom Tov, which we've had already many times. Nirka mesakin, you're not allowed to separate truma and maiser. Kol elu b'yom tov amru kavuchaymer b'shabbos. All of these things are asar on Yom Tov, and all the more so they're asar on Shabbos. Ein bein Yom Tov l'shabbos ella oichol nefesh bovad. Says the Mishnah, the golden rule, that there is no difference in halacha between the halachis of Yom Tov and Shabbos, except for the fact that Yom Tov you have a heter of eichol nefesh. Besides the heter of eichol nefesh, everything else remains the same. Other malachis that are not eichol nefesh are asr on Yom Tov, just like they are on Shabbos, and things that are asr midrabanan on Shabbos are also asr midrabanan on Yom Tov. So now we'll begin the Gemara, we'll start to explain some of the cases of the Mishnah. So first, the Gemara brings that which the Mishnah said, lo eilin bi'ilan, and that you're not allowed to go up on a tree on Yom Tov, or for that matter, Shabbos. So says the Gemara, why are you not allowed to climb a tree on Yom Tov and Shabbos? Says the Gemara, gzeira shema yitlash. Maybe while you're climbing the tree, you might end up picking off a branch from the tree to help you climb, and therefore, that's going to be a malacha of kaitzer, and so chazal were geizer that you're not allowed to climb up a tree. V'loy reich v'n al-gabe behemo. They were also geyser that you're not allowed to ride an animal on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And says the Gemara, the reason for that is gzeira shem yetzei chutzlatchum. It's because if you ride an animal, you might not realize that you're going too far. You might end up traveling outside of the tchum. So ask the Gemara now, Shema minot tchum in daraisa. Should we learn out from here that the idea of tchum Shabbos and tchum Yom of tchumin that it's daraisa? Meaning, because if it would be derabanan, if the idea of a tchum would be only midrabanan, so then it wouldn't make sense that they would make a gzeira not to ride an animal because maybe you'll go outside the tchum. The whole idea of going outside the tchum is only midrabanan. So to make a gzeira against riding on an animal because you might go outside the tchum, that would be a gzeira the gzeira, and we don't make gzeiras the gzeiras except for when Chazal say that we do, but otherwise we don't make gzeiras the gzeiras. So if we're making a gzeira that you can't ride an animal because you might go outside the tchum, that has the mashmais that tchumin is daraisa. So ask the Gemara, shma minot tchumin daraisa, should we learn out from here that the idea of tchum is daraisa? So says the Gemara, no, el gzeira shema yachteich zimayra. No, we'll just give a different reason, that the reason why Chazal were you're geyser, that you're not allowed to ride an animal on Shabbos and Yom Tov, is not because of gzeira that you might go outside the tchum. Rather, it's because of gzeira that when you're riding the animal, you might come to cut off a branch from a tree because it'll help you guide the animal, make the animal move faster, and therefore they were geyser that you can't ride an animal bichlal because you might be over on kaitzer by cutting this branch. They said that you're not allowed to go swimming on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And the reason for that, says the Gemara, is because of Igzeira Shemeyase Chavis Shal Shayatin. Because if you go swimming, you might end up needing some sort of floating help, some sort of floating device, and you'll end up making a barrel in order to use it as a floater. Right? They didn't have floaties, so what did they use? They used barrels. So you might come to construct a barrel in order to help you to use it as like a floater. And so because of that, So therefore, the Chazal were geyser that you're not allowed to go swimming on Shabbos and Yom Tov. V'loy metapchen, v'loy mesapkin, v'loy merakten. And they also said that you're not allowed to do these different types of clapping or dancing. And that, says the Gemara we've mentioned in the past, is because of Igzera Shemi Yisakin Klishir. It's because of Igzera that you might come to fix an instrument. Meaning, because if you're allowed to clap and dance, you might come to play instruments. The instrument might break, and if the instrument breaks, you might come to fix the instrument. So therefore, they were geyser that you're not allowed to clap and dance on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Bezus Hashem will pick up from here in the following shir.